a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome everybody on the internet and the World Wide Web, and everybody in the room here and everybody who's listening otherwise. I want to remind everybody to turn off their electronic devices, the cell phones and the iPads and the computers, so that the sound isn't on. And I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Senators Kamak, Ewing,
here.
Frericks,
here.
Hager,
here.
Peterson, Greenfield,
here.
Monroe,
here. We have a quorum. Just about. Senator Peterson's. Chair will entertain a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Green, Frericks. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. I want to remind everybody to sign in. Please sign in. It's extremely important. It's a public meeting. We need to have a public record. We're going to move on to our I want to introduce Pages. So please just introduce yourself and something real important about yourself.
Okay. All right, good morning. I'm Veronica Thomas. I am a senior at Stevens High School in Rapid City. And next year, I'll be attending the University of Minnesota Twin Cities to double major in political science and global studies and minor in Spanish, and hopefully attend law school after that.
Hi, I'm Brinley Olson from Sturgis. I'm dual enrolled at Sturgis Brown High School and Western Dakota Tech, and next year I'll be going to Western Dakota Tech for practical nursing.
Thank you. We're going to move on into Senate Bill 136 as our first bill today. And it's a bill to exclude municipal sales and use taxes from the gross receipts used in determining the tax liability of electric cooperatives. Proponents. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I think Senate Bill 136 is kind of a great example of democracy and the way things work with our citizen legislature. Really, the impetus behind this started at a discussion with a co-op meeting up in Aberdeen, and it was brought to our attention that there was a discrepancy with the way things had worked in the past and how they were working in the future. And I'm going to use an example that I think kind of lays out the philosophy behind this, but I'll tell you up front that I do understand that there's a difference between gross receipts taxes and sales tax, but I think this example is probably the one that will really help you understand what's going on here. If I were to go down to the hardware store here and pay $10 to purchase an item, what would happen next is the city of Pierre has a 2% sales tax. And that would get added on, and then the state's 4% sales tax would get added on top of that. And I would pay a total of 6% on that $10 item. What's happened after an audit that was conducted on one of the co-ops here is there's essentially a similar type practice where municipalities are allowed to put a gross receipts tax on co-ops that generate power and distribute that. Typically, it's not that much of a problem usually because most of our co-ops tend to operate in the rural areas, and so they tend to often be outside of the municipal boundaries. But up in Aberdeen, there's a case at as they've expanded their industrial park on the northeast end of town, a lot of that is largely powered by the co-op that's there. And essentially, the Department of Revenue came back in and said, all right, Aberdeen has this 2% gross receipts tax that they apply. And they said, but you as a co-op must treat that as a gross receipt. So if you had $100 worth of electrical service as a customer that you were paying, you'd pay the $2 to the city of Aberdeen. Then the Department of Revenue is coming in and saying, Now we're going to tax you on the whole $102 that are out there. And fundamentally, that seems a little awkward to me, because if we're talking about gross receipts, essentially that city tax that the co-op is handling is simply being passed through. The co-op is not profiting off of that. They are simply collecting it and redistributing that dollar amount back to the city. So that's the philosophy behind 136. As you guys have seen up here many times, there's more than one way to handle things. I've actually distributed an amendment that I think probably clarifies this bill even better than what the original form was, because it makes clear that we're just certainly seeking to exempt this municipal portion from the gross receipts tax that is collected by the city as a whole. And with that, I am going to turn it over to some of the other folks to speak, and I have another committee to attend to, but if you have any questions for me, certainly send a page over and I'll come back to try to answer those. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. What room are you going to be in case we need to send for you?
414.
Thank you. More proponents.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Taxation Committee. My name is Darla Pullman-Rogers, and I'm a registered lobbyist for SDREA. That's the South Dakota Rural Electric Association. We are a statewide association consisting of 31 total rural electric cooperative members. That includes distribution cooperatives and G&T cooperatives. Recently, as Senator Brown indicated, one of our member companies or cooperatives drew our attention to what we believe to be an inequity in our tax laws. And as Senator Brown indicated, under current law, and in particular it's SDCL 49-34A-45 and also 46, but under 45, if our cooperative serves some customers that live within a municipality, it's less than 50% of our customers, but they reside in the municipality, and that municipality does not have its own electrical system, then the municipality, at its option, can impose a tax on the services that we provide, on the revenue of the services that we provide to those citizens that reside in the city. And it's in an amount, it's an optional thing for the city, and it's an amount to be agreed upon, but it can't exceed 2%. And the same thing is true for an electric utility or a non-co-op that serves people within the municipality, and that ceiling is 4%. Well, as Senator Brown indicated, one of our member cooperatives, and it's Northern Electric, has customers that reside in the city limits of Aberdeen. The city of Aberdeen has opted to impose a 2% tax pursuant to 49-34A-45. Northern Electric has placed a line item on its customer billing, and it indicates, it actually calls it a franchise tax, and the customers residing within the city limits pay that tax or remit it to the cooperative. As Senator Brown indicated, it is not revenue or it doesn't profit the cooperative at all. They just pass it on, remit it to the city. Northern Electric then also collects and remits a 4% sales tax on the services it provides to the state of South Dakota. That's a line item on the bill. They collect it and they remit it. And they do the same with the city sales tax of 2%. Northern Electric was audited by the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Revenue concluded that the company was not calculating that 4% and 2% sales tax correctly. So what they said is, instead of imposing that only on the electric service provided by the cooperative, it should be imposed on the electric service and the additional optional sales tax that the city of Aberdeen imposed. I think that this can best be demonstrated by actually looking at the bill, a bill from Northern Electric, and if I could have the pages distribute this, I'd like to walk through it with you. We have redacted the name of the customer, so. But this is a customer of Northern Electric Cooperative that resides within the city limits of Aberdeen. If you look on the left, on the right-hand side of the bill, the first one, two, three, four, five, six items there constitute the actual charges for electric service. And you can see that totals $228.68. Then the cooperative calculated a 2% city sales tax on that amount. That's the $4.58. And then the next line item, which is called the franchise tax at 2%, that's the optional tax that the City of Aberdeen imposes pursuant to 4934A45. So they calculated another 2% on the $228.68, and then they calculate the 4% sales tax on the $228.68. And then the total bill is there. Well, that's the pre-audit calculation. Now, after the audit, if you look at the figures in red in the middle of the bill, we have the same amount that the co-op charged for the actual electrical services provided in the $228.68. But now the Department of Revenue says you have to add that additional optional 2% franchise tax that the City of Aberdeen imposes. You have to add that to your services. And then you impose your 2% and your 4% sales tax on that bigger bucket rather than just on the services that the electric utility provided. We think that this interpretation of by the department is inequitable for several reasons. First of all, it stacks taxes on a tax. And what that, in essence, does is imposes more tax on the customer, because not only are we having to charge our customer or bill our customer for that unique and special 2% tax that the city chooses to impose, now we have to add sales tax on top of that. It's a little bit like adding insult to injury, in our view. And this is a very specialized and unique tax that's imposed under 4834A45. It's optional. The city can choose not to impose it. The amount can be variable. There's just a ceiling. It's not uniformly imposed on all of the co-op's members. It's just those that reside within the city limits. And it's not revenue to the co-op. It's collected and then remitted to the city. So what we're asking you to do with Senate Bill 136 is to create a very narrow exception that applies only to this particular tax that a municipality may impose if a co-op serves less than 50% of customers in a municipality. We're not trying to compromise the entire tax code. We're not trying to set a precedent that others would try to follow. We're not trying to create a big loophole. We are trying to very narrowly accept this unique tax from being included in the gross revenues of the co-op. It takes away, Senate Bill 136 takes away stacking or a tax on the tax. It saves tax dollars for our customers, and I think it sends a positive message to our customers that reside and do business in a city. You're subject to this special optional tax, but we're not going to stack city and sales tax on top of that tax. We're going to accept that from our gross revenues. And that's what we've attempted to do in the amended version of the bill. We've tried to keep this a very narrow exception by excluding these optional taxes from the gross revenues of the cooperative. We're not trying to break the bank. If you're interested in how much of a tax or a revenue this generates, you can see on the bill that you have before you, it doesn't make a big difference to this customer. However, if you are a large user, it would make much more of a difference. Collectively, for Northern Electric, in 2013, all of these additional or special taxes that were stacked on to the bills, it amounted to $8,000. It's not going to break the bank. It's not a huge amount of dollars. Nonetheless, those are dollars, that tax dollars, that we can save for our customers that reside in the municipality. And I would just mention, as I conclude my remarks, that, you know, this isn't a unique situation. I have the privilege of working with several different government agencies as I represent my clients. And every so often, we run across a law or an interpretation of a law that causes some inequity. And we come to the legislature, we ask that you look at that and change it. In fact, I have a bill very similar to this pending over in the House side. In fact, it passed the House. We need a narrow exception to create the inequity that's been created here by putting a tax on a tax on a tax. So we would ask your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 136. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents? Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm a registered lobbyist for 3M Company. And as many of you know, 3M operates two plants in South Dakota. One of them is located in Aberdeen, South Dakota, Brown County. And we employ 650 persons at that plant. And it manufactures a broad range of respiratory products for use in homes and in the workplace. We're a consumer in Brown County of the electrical services provided by Northern Electric. We're a customer of Northern Electric, and hence we're a taxpayer as well. And so when Ms. Rogers talks about the $8,000 in taxes that are collected pursuant to this local franchise tax, we pay a substantial portion of that. Admittedly, from our company's perspective, this is not a huge financial impact. It's not; it doesn't have a substantial monetary effect on our company. But nonetheless, we think from a public policy perspective that requiring taxpayers to pay a tax on a tax is not good policy, and we think it's inequitable. And so we would urge the committee to support this legislation for that reason. I'm also was requested by Mr. Owen, who represents the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and we're a member of that organization, to tell the committee that their organization also supports this legislation. Mr. Owen had to go to another committee to testify on another bill. We also want to thank Senator Brown for introducing this bill and bringing this issue to the attention of the legislature. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for any questions that you might have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other proponents? Senate Bill 136.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Foreman. I'm registered lobbyist and executive director for South Dakota Association of Cooperatives, which includes not only farm supply marketing, but also rural electrics as our members. Not to repeat anything that's been said earlier, but it does create a fair tax situation, and we would ask for your support for Senate Bill 136. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Senate Bill 136. Any other proponents? We'll move along to opponents. Senate Bill 136.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Allison Jarris, and I work for the South Dakota Department of Revenue. and I come before you in opposition to Senate Bill 136. The page is providing some handouts for you to look at as we go through some scenarios and situations that I'd like to share with you about this tax exemption proposal. The first handout that you have there is South Dakota Codified Law 1045.1.14. This is the definition of gross receipts as subject to sales tax in South Dakota. South Dakota applies a sales tax to the entire amount received by the retailer or the service provider unless there is an exemption. This statute defines the gross receipts subject to the sales tax. Specifically, as you will see highlighted there, number 2 states that there are no deductions for the cost of materials used, labor or service costs, interest, losses, costs of transportation, all taxes imposed on the retailer, and any other expense the retailer. All of those items are included in the gross receipts that the retailer must report and pay a sales tax on. Rural electric companies owe sales tax on the entire amount that they bill to their customers. There's no exemptions currently provided for charges billed to those customers. Let's take a historical look at the electric companies and the encroachment of city boundaries. Now, traditionally, the rural electric cooperatives operate without a city, outside of a city limits, and provide electricity to their users. As cities grow, as you were already told here earlier, those city boundaries cross into the cooperative territory. These changes have placed cooperative property and their customers now within a city limits. The cities growing into these areas pay certain types of property taxes. All cooperatives pay a per kilowatt hour tax in lieu of property tax on their personal property. And this is paid by all cooperatives, whether the user is within a city limits or not within a city limits. On the retail sale, that is a 0.0016 per kilowatt hour payment. On the wholesale sale, it's a 0.0008 per kilowatt. This is in lieu of tax, where the cooperatives do not pay a property tax. For those cooperatives now ending up serving customers within a city limits, they have a similar method of taxation to create a fee. That is the 2% or the 4% fee, which goes back to the city. Again, this is in lieu of paying any type of a property tax to the city. Like most businesses, costs and expenses of the cooperatives are passed on to the customers. It's a markup in the services provided. The in lieu of amounts provided by the cooperative is passed on as an expense to the customer. The cooperatives, as you've seen in the bill that was placed before you, the statement from Northern, they sometimes opt to line item that fee on the bill to the customer. Regardless of it being line itemed or not, the entire amount is subject to the sales or the use tax. Senate Bill 136 exempts the 2% or the 4% owed by the cooperative to the city. But why? Why should cooperatives be provided exemptions from sales and use taxes? Other businesses incur similar tax expenses, and it is a cost of doing business. Let's take the example of a small engine repair shop. A small engine repair shop will owe sales tax on charges for the services they provide. They pay sales tax on electricity they use to operate their business. They pay sales tax on the equipment, tools, and supplies used in their business. And they pay property tax on their shop and their land. All of these taxes that this shop would pay is a cost of doing business. They pay for this out of the repair shop receipts received from the services that they provide. The small engine repair shop cannot carve out any of these expenses, any of these taxes, in order for them to reduce the amount that they have to charge or pay sales tax on. Another example, which is more similar, is a wireless telecommunications provider. Wireless telecommunication providers owe sales tax again on their entire charges for the services provided. They pay sales tax on their equipment and supplies. They pay property tax on buildings and land. They also pay 4% gross receipts tax. This is a tax that is placed directly on the provider. They cannot deduct that amount when they place it on the bill to the customer. All of us will see that line item on our bills as wireless users. We pay sales tax on the entire amount, including the 4% gross receipts tax. These are all a cost of doing business. No one is allowed to deduct these amounts out. The South Dakota sales tax is not on a profit. Sales tax does not apply only when you make money. Sales tax applies on the transaction between the customer and the business owner. If you don't make money on that transaction or that sale, that does not allow you to not charge a sales tax. Again, South Dakota Codified Law 10-45-1.14 clearly states the sales tax is due on the entire gross receipts. Bills creating exemptions should be opposed in order to protect the base of the sales tax in South Dakota. In the second handout you will see there, I provided you with the annual sales tax estimates that would be forgone by the state and the city. This is an estimate that is based on fiscal year 2014 estimates. Bottom line in that situation would be a loss of $61,600. Again, as was testified previously, this is not a break the bank situation, but it is a carve out and it starts at $61,000 lost revenues. If passed, Senate Bill 136 opens a door to future tax exemptions. The bill creates an exemption from sales tax for expenses that are passed on to the customer. The in lieu of fee paid by the cooperative is a fee due and owing by the cooperative. If this bill were to pass, what are the possibilities of there being another request for exemptions down the road? In particular, what about the exemption for the per kilowatt hour tax that is being paid currently? Please vote no on Senate Bill 136. I will remain available for questions.
Thank you. Are there any other opponents? Senate Bill 136, any other opponents? Hearing none, we'll proponents. Rebuttal. I'm still stuck in high school debate. I'm sorry. And I'm having problems with this rebuttal thing. It's totally different from what we do here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, I'm Darla Pullman Rogers, and I am the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Rural Electric Association. You know, I appreciate the position of the Department of Revenue, and in fact, I would expect them to try to defend the integrity of the tax laws. That's their job. However, there are times when tax laws, strictly interpreted, can result in an inequity. And I think that we have demonstrated to you that this tax law does that. It's the customer that is paying that tax and then the tax on top of the tax. I don't think it matters how you categorize this tax. Certainly on the bill as a line item, it looks like a sales tax. None of us pay sales tax on top of a sales tax. But even if you categorize it and say, well, it's imposed on the company in lieu of a property tax, none of us pay sales tax on our property taxes either. So I would submit to you that this very narrow exception is appropriate in this case. Another distinction with this tax is, unlike the wireless carriers that were alluded to here as an analogy, and unlike the hardware store, this tax is not imposed universally on all of our members. You pay it because you reside inside of the city. I don't, because I happen to be outside of the city. It's a very special, unique tax. And that's why we believe we are justified in asking you to correct this inequity and make this exception and exclude this from our gross receipts. I'm certainly confident that the Department of Revenue will be here in the future in the event other people come forward and ask for exemptions. And I think you should look at the request carefully. And I think you've done that, and I think we've justified why we believe it's appropriate in this case. I can tell you that the rural electrics will not ask for any exemptions on their kilowatt hour tax. That's imposed on everyone. This is imposed on this unique group of customers. It's stacking taxes on top of taxes. It's not good public policy, and we're asking you to correct it. Thank you.
Thanks, Darla. Are there... Okay, we're good. Now we're going to close the... are there any questions of anybody, comments from the committee? Okay, Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Darla, please. I remember just a few years ago when we switched to the kilowatt hour tax, but could you, when we look at this bill, I mean, it doesn't show as a pass-through to the customer. Is that something that just the rural electric absorbs, obviously, on each kilowatt hour? I mean, I'm not seeing that line itemed on this bill that you provided as an example.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Yes. You're correct, Senator Frerichs. The cooperatives do not line item their kilowatt hour tax. That's absorbed into their cost of doing business.
Senator Frerichs.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Darla. And for so if I'm understanding correctly, the way the Department of Revenue interprets the franchise tax is, in lieu of, is basically more, and the reason the cities assess that is more so on the side of a form of a property tax because of the structures being located within the city. Is that where it's coming from? I guess we're not, the franchise tax will still be paid. It's just where it's assessed. But I'm just trying to obviously the term franchise tax is relatively new. I think we don't see that. At least I haven't noticed it that much. Again, I'm not living in a city either.
Mr. Chair, the name franchise tax is just something that this particular electric cooperative chose to call it. You can call it whatever you want. You know, what the statute says is it authorizes a municipality in which an electric cooperative serves less than 50% of its members that reside within this municipality, and that municipality does not have a municipal system. It allows the municipality to impose a tax on up to 2% of the gross receipts of those residing in the city. So.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments before we close it to committee discussion? We're closing it to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment 136-SA.
Okay. Moved by Senator Greenfield and seconded by Senator Frerichs. Amendment 136, Senate Bill 136 be amended according to 136-SA. Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was obviously brought by the prime sponsor of the bill. He stated, and I believe he's accurate in saying that if we are to move this bill forward, that this makes it a cleaner read, probably makes clearer the intention. So I would ask for the committee's indulgence in putting this amendment on before we consider further action on the bill.
Been moved and seconded to amend Senate Bill 136 with Amendment 136-SA. Are there any more comments? Voice vote.
No, it's roll call.
Roll call vote.
It's an amendment.
Oh, amendment. Okay.
Get tired of people telling me I'm not right. No. Finally. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Amendment 136-SA goes on to Senate Bill 136. Any further comments or action? Senator Ewing.
I would move to pass on Senate Bill 136 as amended.
Second. Moved by Senator Ewing and do pass. Second by Senator Peterson. Are there any comments or discussion? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to just state my appreciation for the discussion that's been had here. The department obviously has an enviable job in coming and defending, you know, the interpretation of the department, and they have a job to do, and they're trying to follow the letter of the law. It's our job to determine whether the law is proper. I don't question that it's probably being properly applied. But this issue came up as Senator Brown said, at one of the pre-legislative meetings. And initially, the gentleman who brought it up said that this is something we need to keep an eye on. Maybe bring legislation in the future. And I asked him if he wouldn't consider stepping it up and bringing it now, because I said this is something that should be addressed. It's been identified as an issue. It may be only affecting one or two groups at this point, but going forward, it will undoubtedly begin to affect more. And so I'm appreciative of the fact that the bill is here. I do hope that we can move this to the floor and continue the discussion as to the proper balance relative to this issue. But I do think that we have a problem on our hands, and I think it's time for us to address it in terms of legislative policy and maybe give the department different direction as to how to proceed in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Greenfield. Are there any more comments on the do pass as amended motion for Senate Bill 136? I got a couple comments. Actually, I have too many comments to even comment on. But there's two sides to this. One is tax on tax. The other is the confusion that I find sometimes in trying to analyze all these things. But I would hope that, pass or fail on this bill, that in the future we can work out tax issues according to what's right and what the law says, and instead of taking 4 hours, we're going to call for the vote here. So, be a roll call vote, and those in favor will say aye. Those in favor, those opposed, nay. Verdue passes amended motion on Senate Bill 136.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Monroe?
No.
Six ayes, one nay.
Senate Bill 136, having passed as amended with a majority vote, will go to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Personal privilege, if I might.
You go ahead there.
I realize that Senator Brown is back in state affairs, but I just couldn't help myself. For those who were in Senate education yesterday, you'll note that Senator Brown had his bill dealing with the poet laureate in the state of South Dakota, and here today he's brought a bill that talks about stacking a tax on tax, or as Darla said, stacks tax on tax. So it's been a rather poetic week for him, the stacking of tax on tax. And so, but thank you. I do appreciate the job that everybody here has to do on this issue, and there's a lot to it. Thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Franks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move a title amendment to Senate Bill 136. And it would read, instead of municipal sales and use, change that to certain municipal. That's on line one of the bill. And on line two, instead of, which is in between liability and electric, insert for customers served by. So it should read, an act to exclude certain municipal taxes from the gross receipts used to determine the tax liability for customers served by electric cooperatives.
Second. That was really fast for me.
Luckily, Fred has it.
Want to make sure this is done right.
He read it right. You want to read it again?
Yes, I do. Senator Frakes has moved title amendment and act to change it to say an act to exclude certain municipal taxes from the gross receipts used to determine the tax liability for customers served by electric cooperatives. Do we have a second on that? Senator Greenfield seconds it. All those in favor will say aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Senate Bill 136 goes to the floor to pass with a title amendment and amended. What? No, we're not going to. On Senate Bill 119, Senator Holeen still has some justifiable reasons for not running that bill today. And so we're going to think about that Monday or Wednesday of next week. Are there any other comments, questions? No food fights. The chairman will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Greenfield, second by Senator Hagar to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We adjourned.